do have a lot to talk about tonight, believe it or not. We're studying the period of the kings, the divided kingdom. So if you would please take out your Bibles and turn to the section that you see on the board. We're going to be flipping back between 1 Kings 12 through the text of 2 Kings 25. We're not going to do all of that, of course, tonight. But comparing the accounts of the kings and the chronicles for various details. Some are found in one account that are not found in the other. So we want to study this period of time, fascinating period of time. What I hope to do tonight is to somewhat give an overview of this period. We'll deal with some specifics as we go through and talk about that as we do so. I've learned in times gone by that not everyone is as excited about some things as I sometimes become, or find things as interesting sometimes as I do. This particular period of time, to me, is one in Old Testament history that is most fascinating. As we study concerning the things that resulted in the division of the northern and the southern kingdom, and then discuss the period specifically regarding the reign of each king and what they did or didn't do that influenced the people of God, and to see that play out over the period of about 200 years of the divided kingdom is fascinating. When we look at a capsule study, for example, a particular year in your life may seem like a whole lot, but on the page of world history, that's not all that much. And when we look at the events of one king, we may say, well, there's really not much that he did to impact the world, but sometimes that's not really true. As we look at the history of these kings, and we see the direction that they took the people of God, even for a brief period of time, we see the impact that had sometimes over a long period of time. And we're going to talk about that. As we noticed in the studies, the last two or three studies regarding Rehoboam's foolish judgment that resulted in the division of the kingdom and the beginning of the reign of King Jeroboam, God offered King Jeroboam a tremendous opportunity as king. What did God propose to Jeroboam? Chapter 11 of 1 Kings.
That his line would go on if he were faithful.
Or right, he could establish his kingdom. That's right, establish his lineage. But we find that he was not faithful. In fact, when he came back from Egypt and was appointed as king over the northern 10 tribes, what did he bring with him from Egypt? Pardon me?
Idols,
that's right. Calf worship. We note that his desire was that the people worship under his jurisdiction, if you please. He desired that they remain in the northern portion of the land instead of going to Jerusalem, arguing that it was too much for you to go to Jerusalem. It's not convenient, we might say. And so he set up an altar, one in Dan and one in Bethel. And of course, you'll notice in the on the map that Bethel was just barely north of the line where the kingdom of Judah started, in the southernmost portion of the kingdom of Israel. And there was a certain prophet that was sent to cry out against that altar that King Jeroboam had set up in Bethel. And we've talked about the young prophet of chapter 13, how that he cried out against that altar and prophesied, actually, regarding the destruction of that altar and how that dead men's bones would be burned upon that altar. It would become defiled, and we referenced the history of that over in 2 Kings chapter 23 in our last study, I believe. We noted also that this young prophet was very honorable when the king invited him to dine with him and refused the invitation with respect to what God had to say to him. But then an old prophet lied to him, inviting him to come to his home and dine with him. The young prophet did so and died, we know. And the old prophet recognized the responsibility that he had in the death of the young prophet and ordered that his body be buried in his tomb. We looked at the 14th chapter, and we noted that there Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Ahijah, and here's where we don't want to get messed up on names, can become very confusing. But Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick, chapter 14, verse 1, and Jeroboam's wife was sent to the prophet Ahijah to tell what was going to happen to the son. And what happened to the son? What did the prophet say? Jenny? And he did. As soon as she entered into the house, as it were, he died. We want to note in verse 14, it says, "Moreover, Jehovah will raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what even now? For Jehovah will smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he will root up Israel out of this good land, which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river, because they have made the Asherim, provoking Jehovah to anger." Now, Asherim was the goddess of the Canaanites, in whose land he dwelt. Remember, as Joshua had posed for them the question, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And they vowed their faithfulness unto God, but they were not faithful to God. And we've noted in a whole bunch of studies that Moses and Joshua, and now this prophet, tells them what's going to happen to them because they worship and serve other gods. You'll be driven out of the land that God has given to you. And by the way, where did Moses tell them that?
Deuteronomy.
Excellent. Where did Joshua tell them that? And? 21 be 44 and 45. He told them God has brought them into the land. Joshua 23, verse 14, God has brought you into the land. Nothing's failed. Verse 16, he'll drive you out if you worship and serve other gods. And of course, this prophet, I want to say it right too, Ahijah, tells the wife of Jeroboam that this is precisely what's going to take place. Now, as you come down to the, middle portion, about verse 21 it is, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah, and it tells us Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which Jehovah had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess, and Judah did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed above all that their fathers had done. We notice that they built high places, pillars and Asherim, verse 23. The Sodomites were in the land. So a lot of bad things are taking place. In verse 25, we did not talk about this verse in times past, I don't believe. In verse 25, it says, "It came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away the treasures of the house of Jehovah and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made." You remember back over in the 10th chapter, about verse 17, the weight of those shields. And we talked about that then, and you could perhaps do some numbers. We might get Rick to figure us a number on the price of a shield that Solomon had made on today's market. I believe it would probably be costly. But what Shishak did is he took those golden shields that King Solomon had made, and Rehoboam, in verse 27, in their stead made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who kept the door of the king's house. And it was so that as oft as the king went into the house of Jehovah, the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. Now, picture that, if you will, as the king would leave the palace and go into the house of God. These shields would line the hallway, as it were. Shields of gold. Can you imagine the impression that that would give anyone who entered the house of God through that means? But Shishak has taken those. Now, what is it that Rehoboam wants the appearance to be? He wants it to look like that there's still shields of gold lining the halls going into the house of God. But they're not shields of gold. They're shields of brass. Now, one of the things that brass does that gold doesn't do is it tarnishes. And if you've ever had to maintain brass, it can turn into quite a chore. Silver is nice, but silver will tarnish. But brass will tarnish a lot quicker than silver will. What do you suppose became the primary objective of these guards that kept the shields? Keep them polished. That's right. Keep them polished. And what a shame for Rehoboam to want the appearance of gold out of brass, knowing that it was a substitute. There's a lesson in there, Randy. You can mind that out, and that'll preach. Mind that out. Yes, substitutes. But this is what we read. In verse 29, it tells us, now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of Kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonite, and Abijam his son reigned in his stead. Now, I want to pause just there and pass from that chart to this one and summarize these kings. Out of the 39 kings in the two kingdoms, 13 were murdered by their own people, 5 were taken prisoners by enemies. Wouldn't that indicate to you that we've got a pretty